I love to watch baby stretching. Do any of you like to watch a baby stretch? There's just something magical about those moments, isn't it? Right there. I have a video clip for you to watch. Don't you just want to just pick him up? Every time I see a baby stretching like that, I just think, stretch and grow. Stretch and grow. Today, I want to challenge you to stretch and grow. Now, you don't all have to get unwrapped and physically stretch, although it does feel rather good. But I want you to really stretch and grow this new year. And this is the first Sunday of that new year. How many of you, speaking of resolutions, how many of you made resolutions? How many of you are still keeping your resolution and haven't broken it yet? Yes. Bruce and I resolved we're going to lose weight this year. We didn't say we were going to go on a diet, just that we're going to lose weight, which is a good thing because our breakfast this morning wouldn't have qualified as being on a diet. But today I want to look at some special resolutions, not New Year's resolution, but new life resolutions. Those resolutions that we make when we accept God's love in our lives and say yes to a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. The membership vows of the United Methodist Church ask, will you support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Now, whether or not you are a member of the church, still God asks us that same question. Will you accept or will you support my ministry, the ministry of Jesus Christ, with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? So I'd like you to think very seriously about keeping this new life resolution. It's really not that difficult. In our Old Testament lesson today, we see Moses face to face, well, face to burning bush, with God. And God is calling Moses to go to the Pharaoh, to go to Egypt, and to bring God's people, the chosen people, out of Egypt. And what does Moses say? Well, how will they know it's that I'm coming from you? So God tells him. Well, how will they believe? And God says, I'll be with you. This is what you do. Throw down your staff. And he said, well, I can't speak in front of people. Don't worry about it, Moses. I'll be with you. Here, your brother Aaron is eloquent. You tell him what to say, and he'll say it to Pharaoh if you can't talk. I want your willingness. I want you to say yes to my call. He finally agreed, and I think we know the rest of the story, that as a result of his agreeing to God's plan, the chosen people were brought out of Egypt to freedom from captivity. And in the reading from 1 Corinthians, Paul illustrates the importance in being servants of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, saying, and I'm reading from the Message translation, or to put it another way, you are God's house. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there's only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheaper, inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection is thorough and rigorous. A friend sent me an email with Christian one-liners, and one of them rang especially true. It said, "Don't give God instructions, just report for duty." I tend to want to give him instructions. I think that was Moses' problem too. But God just wants us to report for duty. But what does that mean, to report for duty? I think for an answer to the question, we can go back to last week's visitor, the Magi, and see how they answered God's call to service, presence, prayers, and gifts. God placed gifts of incredible value inside each one of you. Just as the Magi brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, each of us bears unique and valuable gifts for God. Our calling from God is to share whatever gifts we have in the common for the benefit of the mission of the community of faith. The mission of the church is twofold. One, to edify the saints, and the other is to share the love of Jesus Christ with the world, which is desperate for the hope that only he can provide. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 through 27 says, "So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." We are all members of one body, and our gifts, whatever they may be, are meant to serve one another so that the love of Christ may shine brightly in and through us and all around from the fellowship that we share together. Sometimes we mistake our gifts, though, don't we? How often do we bear gifts as though they're burdens? How often do we lock away our treasures for fear of loss? Sometimes a lack of confidence in our ability to serve God with our gifts reflects much more than a simple lack of confidence in ourselves. It reflects a lack of confidence in the true nature of God and the power of God to enable us to do what he asks. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." We have, like Moses, disposal of the power of God within us. And as followers of Christ, we are given the matchless opportunity to experience the extraordinary power of God working in and through us. Each of us, look inside yourselves for a moment. Each of us has unique gifts meant for the building up of one another and for the building of the kingdom of God. No matter how young or how old you are, regardless of how rich or how poor, how absolutely independent of your rung on the social ladder you are, each of us has a distinct purpose and function in the kingdom. And what's even more powerful than that is the fact that we don't have to rely on our own strength to use those gifts. We have been blessed with the very presence of God within us that enables us to do every good work. It's been said that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. We've been given the gift of grace. It's not that we need to earn God's favor, but what I'm speaking about is something greater than that. We've been invited to be kingdom builders on a mission to share the love of God and in so doing, to share his love, to really build the kingdom of God. Ours is a holy task of preparation and participation in the plan that God has by the power of the Holy Spirit to act within us. So let's look at those gifts that the Magi gave to Jesus and to God. The Magi gave God their actions. They saw the star and they believed it announced the birth of the Messiah, but they didn't stop there. They didn't stop with just believing. They took action and made the long trip to worship the new king. They traveled a great distance. Perhaps they sacrificed greatly to make that trip. And certainly some of their activities, like just sitting by the fire and reading a good book, had to be postponed until their return. Are you willing to give God your actions? Do you put actions behind your beliefs? Do you put foot to faith? How is God calling you to action? Perhaps to participate in some of the missions of the church or in a ministry. Perhaps God is calling you to lead a small group or to teach a class. Perhaps God is calling you to start a new ministry within the church, like the prayer quilt ministry. Next, the Magi had to give God their minds. They studied the scripture, or they had learned it from the Jews in their country, for they knew the verse in Numbers 24:17, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. A star shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." So when they saw the star in the east, they intellectually understood the prophetic importance. Their minds were turned to God. These were knowledgeable men. They studied astronomy and they studied scripture. They understood when there was a change in the heavenly bodies, and they understood what the Bible was telling them about the coming Messiah. Do you give God your intellect? Do you study to know what the Bible teaches? Did you participate in the one-year study Bible last year? With this new year, are you going to read it again? Is God calling you to join the disciple Bible study that's starting? The Messiah were also willing to learn. And notice the scribes had the answer. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. The religious leaders of Israel knew where Jesus was to be born, but they weren't going there to find the king. They were comfortable and snug in their holiness or whatever. They weren't really seeking. God caused men from hundreds of miles away from foreign countries to come worship his son, while the religious leaders of the church stayed behind. Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to ask questions and learn new truth from the scriptures? The Magi also gave God their faith. They apparently weren't Jews and did not study or know the Hebrew scriptures that well, and yet they were willing to go by faith. In fact, their whole journey was made by faith. They initially had seen the star in the sky, but that wasn't what guided them to Jerusalem. They came on faith. They had made the long journey entirely on faith. And God often asks us to make a journey on faith. Look at Moses. He was calling him to make a journey on faith. He asks us to step out into new areas where we haven't gone before. We may not be sure where we're going, but we are asked to go in faith. Are you willing to trust God as much as the wise men? Are you willing to give God your faith? You know, you've perhaps seen the bumper sticker, "God is my co-pilot." Well, I'd like to challenge you to get out of the driver's seat and put God in the driver's seat. And you be the co-pilot or the passenger. And let God guide and drive the car. And you take it on faith. And I guarantee you will be on the ride of your life. And you will be so blessed. That doesn't mean that there won't be rough spots. But with God in the pilot seat, oh my goodness, you can do those loop-to-loops and know you're in safe hands. The Magi also gave God their joy as they saw the reappearance of the Bethlehem star. They rejoiced greatly in the Lord. Their joy was not in the things of the world or in their intellect, not even in their companionship. They rejoiced in God. Do you give God your joy? Do you rejoice in him throughout the day? Or do you moan and complain? Do you have a pity party? Alas, woe is me. There are times when I have pity parties, and it's like, oh God, smack me on the side of the face and give me a joyful heart. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice." God wants us to be joyful Christians. Let us learn to rejoice in him, and let us show our joy to everyone we meet. That doesn't mean we're always happy, but we can still have God's joy within our hearts. Did you know that you are the modern translation of the Bible? You know, You read from the New Revised Standard Version, and I read part from the Message translation or paraphrase. But each one of you is a translation of the Bible that people see every day. And for many people, you are the only Bible they will ever read. Let others see your joy. Let others see your reflection of God's love, or that love of God just shining forth from your eyes and from your smiles and from your just being. And the Magi gave God their praise. They worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. They didn't give half-hearted praise. This was the culmination of their long journey. Do you worship the Lord? Do you spend time praising and honoring him? Or are you too busy to kneel before the Savior? The wise men had traveled by faith to an unknown city, trusting in the promises of God's word, and now they worshiped him. May we spend time worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Magi gave their material gifts. They were willing to part with their gold and their frankincense and myrrh. They were willing to give their treasure for the kingdom of God. Are you willing to part with your worldly possessions? Remember, they all belong to God anyway. They gave God their obedience. They listened to God and obeyed him. No doubt they were tired and weary from their long trip. They traveled hundreds of miles on an unknown quest to an unknown city to find a baby that they could only accept on faith would be the future king of Israel. But they were willing to be inconvenienced in order to obey God. Are you willing to obey God? Will you listen to his commands even when it causes hardship and difficulties? And it probably will. I'd like to tell you a story about in 1994, two Americans answered the invitation from the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics based on biblical principles in public schools. One of the institutions they were invited to was a large orphanage where about 100 boys and girls lived. Now, these children had been abused and abandoned. One of the Americans recounted the following story. It was nearing the holiday season, 1994, time for our orphans to hear for the first time the traditional story of Christmas. And throughout the story, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edges of their seats, trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins I had brought with me. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid the strips in the manger for straw. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old and had finished his project. As I looked at the little boy's manger, I was startled to see not one, but two babies in the manger. The child began to repeat the story very seriously. For such a young boy who had only heard the Christmas story once, he related the happenings accurately until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad lib. He made up his own ending to the story and said, "And when Maria laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked if I had a place to stay. I told him, I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have any place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everyone else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much. So I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. So I said to Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and he told me I could stay with him for always. As little Mishnah finished the story, his eyes brimmed full of tears that splashed down his cheeks. Putting his hand over his face, his head dropped to the table, and his shoulders shook as he sobbed and sobbed. The little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him, someone who could stay with him for always. We know the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh as gifts to the Christ child. Perhaps, like Mishnah, we cannot bring such treasures to him, but we can bring far more important gifts than the wise men brought. We can bring our actions, our minds, our willingness to learn, our faith, our joy, our worship, our offerings, and our obedience. And if we do these things, we will be truly wise men and women and kids. What gift can we bring? What present? What token? What words can convey the joy of this day? When grateful we come, remembering, rejoicing, what song can we offer in honor and praise? It is in loving others, it is in sharing our gifts, that we become free to receive the most precious gift of all, the grace, love, and mercy of Jesus Christ in our lives. So this morning, I encourage you to recommit yourselves to look for ways to shower your gifts upon the King as you fulfill his command to let others see him through you. He's calling. Will you answer?